You have three solo albums with a wealth of material. The most recent is from 2019, The Capitalist Blues. And of course, it came out just as it became impossible to concertize and support the album. And I'm hoping you'll bring along some copies, some CDs to share with the audience.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to bring a lot of, I'm going to bring some merchandise, but I'm also going to bring a lot of commentary about the state of our world. And I think that's really what my music is about. And, you know, what I am trying to connect people to is that conversation about, you know, how we take care of each other. Mm.
It's right there in the title song, first track on the album.
Yeah.
you're direct. You're not trying to hide behind poetic images to like or obscuring anything. It's as direct as can be.
I'm not shy to say that this is really my part of why I make music.
I'm looking at some of the elements of how you grew up, and I feel a certain kinship. There was, for me, formal training as a flutist, and I love classical music, and I appreciate everything I learned. You are a cellist, formerly trained, I mm-hmm. believe.
Yeah.
I got to college, and you know, there's a certain track, and that was it for me. I just performing, a life of full-time performance wasn't in the cards. I put it down. And then folk music came along, and I feel like it saved my life. There is a life-saving element to folk music.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that there's also just a humanity, you know, and there's an allowance that of just being that hasn't been, you know, emphasized enough in the classical world. And, you know, I'd like to think that that's changing, but that change is slow. And in folk music, it's always been about, you know, people power and tradition and, you know, honoring our ancestors and honoring each other through this connection through music. And, you know, that's what really I feel like is the life-saving element is realizing actually, just recognizing that we need connection through music and in classical music, we have so many things that have formalized how we connect in that environment. And, you know, like I said, I think that that's changing. I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of work to change that about the classical kind of the culture of Western European classical music and to talk about it also in that way instead of like there's tons of different types of classical music in the world. And it's this specific strand of Western European classical music and it's the way that it's been spread, you know, the way that it's been shared and the way that it's been taught, that affects, you know, how the culture has developed. And now the culture is changing.
It is.
So, and that's good.
Slowly.
You know, we need that.
Yeah. You can't create what you can't imagine. And there's where new voices are so critical. Voices that have been there all along. Got to do some listening as well. The kind of folk music that drew me in was Irish traditional, so wooden flute and accordion. You, however, I'm fascinated that your folk roots go to Haitian music. And I know also that Haitian immigrants affected the culture of New Orleans in a way that is so integrated now that it's hard to pull the strands apart. What are some of the influences you can tell us about that we consider American or a New Orleans style thing that are actually from Haiti?
Yeah, Wow, that's a loaded question and statement that I love to talk about. I would say that, Haitian history has been sort of gaslit and erased from our collective consciousness in the United States and in general. And one of the things that has really connected me, you know, to Haiti is I moved to New Orleans in August of 2010. I started wanting to play the banjo and learned that the tenor banjo had the same strings as the cello, which, you know, is my original instrument. And subsequently, I read a book called The World That Made New Orleans that really taught me about Haitian influence in New Orleans. And then once it was something kind of in my consciousness, I realized it's everywhere. You know, it's in the architecture, it's in the food, it's in the music. You know, I thought I was going to be playing New Orleans traditional jazz on banjo. And then I subsequently discovered a rich tradition of banjo playing in Haiti. And so I feel like, you know, there's been a couple of things for me personally. It's like I'm on a spiritual path of discovery and uncovering this history that has been buried, because really Haiti was the first independent Black nation. And the concept of that, the idea of that, the threat of that, is something that I think that we still grapple with. A slave uprising is still scary in 2021, even though we can recognize, you know, the injustice and inhumanity of slavery. We are completely programmed by white supremacy in our culture. And so, you know, I feel I'm trying to deconstruct that and fight that both within myself and through my music and learning about Haitian culture and framing that history in the context of, you know, what's happening in the world today with Haiti, with people fleeing, violence and persecution, and looking for safe haven, a lot of people losing their temporary protected status through the Biden administration. These are old patterns in our relationship with Haiti. Years of colonization, years of in debt. You know, Haiti had to pay for its freedom, and has been, you know, really, disenfranchised in the world stage. So there's a lot, you know, that I think about when I'm finding these songs, these traditional songs, and there's a lot behind me and my desire to, have people understand what Haiti really is. It's not what you see on the news. That's maybe a part of it, and that's a very biased part of it, you know? It brings to mind this Audre Lorde quote that I really love, that the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. And so I think we have to start thinking about shaping our future in that way. We can't use the tools that enslaved us to free ourselves.
You are weaving together centuries of behavior and consequences. And the question that I have is, would you go so far as to say ignoring a culture or a people is a form of suppression?
Absolutely, but I don't think that it's ignoring. I think it's actually been a lot more insipid than that. I think it's been hiding it, hiding it in order to maintain the status quo. It hasn't been ignoring, you know. We can see over history, you know, this repeated exploitation and repression and oppression of Haitian people. And that is never something that they include in the conversation on the news.
So how do you, as one person, rediscover Discover period, these Haitian legacies and bring them to light. There must be many ways. You have to do some research. You talk to people, get some folk narratives, maybe go to the Library of Congress. I don't know how you handle this.
Well, I do a lot of reading and I do a lot of talking, you know. I do a lot of research, and not just of history books, but, you know, trying to understand who are, you know, the artistic heroes of Haiti, you know, who inspire me, that I'm standing on the backs of. And not just of Haiti, of the United States, too, because I'm, you know, I come from both countries, and in different ways. And I'm trying to reconcile that, you know, within myself. And I think just, you know, for me, it really comes back to, like, being willing to have these conversations, you know, in a public sphere. And that's what my music has allowed me to do, is to really just, you know, continue that conversation that I'm already having with myself, but invite, you know, everyone to participate in it, Haitian or not.
Well, let's talk about An Evening of Music with Leila Makala. You sing in English and in French and in, is it a Haitian Creole? And are they a mixture of traditional songs and originals?
Yes. It is a mixture of traditional songs and originals. I really like traditional music. You know, I really fell in love with a particular style of music from Haiti called troubadou, which is kind of secular, banjo-driven, a very melodic song.
It sounds like troubadour.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same tradition. It's the same idea, you know, as the medieval troubadours. It's kind of like country, you know, it's kind of hillbilly music from Haiti. But what I really found fascinating about it was learning about all of these, you know, all the songs are just stories about people's lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, people that I've never been able to meet, but maybe I have some memories of that myself, you know, when I traveled in Haiti as a kid. And so, you know, it's very nostalgic music, I think, for a lot of Haitians. It's very, like, old style, traditional. And then there, you know, I like to write songs, and sometimes they, you know, just come into my head right away. And I've written a song before I know it. And sometimes it takes years for me to finish an idea in a song. And so I feel like there's space for all these different processes, you know, whether it's kind of rearranging a song that already exists from my voice and my instruments and my band, or if it's just, you know, finding some kind of inspiration and following a thread. And, you know, I enjoy living in both of those worlds and juxtaposing them against each other.
You will be accompanying yourself. What instruments are you bringing in order to do that?
I am going to be traveling with my cello, my banjo, and my guitar.
La vie vient capser sous crêpe solon, même si la terre c'est pas faute malérie. La vie vient capser sous crêpe solon, même si la terre c'est pas faute malérie. Là je pas fait bon. Nos poches malhérées nous fait pour nous vivre sous la terre bénie. La joie pas fait pour nos poches malhérées nous fait pour nous vivre sous la terre bénie.
I know that it can be a complete song when you sing and accompany yourself, but I wanted to share my appreciation with you for how beautifully you picked out arrangements on your albums. They're just beautiful, the textures that come in. And I was just imagining you in the studio kind of creating these textures and different lines, counter melodies, or every track seems to have its own shape.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You know, I got to work with an amazing producer, King James, of a band called The Special Men, here in New Orleans on Capitalist Blues. And, you know, he's really, he really encouraged me to explore, you know, all the sounds that New Orleans has to offer. And I found a lot of those sounds reminded me of Haiti, too. And so he can be credited with a lot of the arranging, most of the arranging. but I always have a, you know, a sense of where things belong, you know, sonically. Mm-hmm. And I think that has been a big part of guiding my process.
Let's try to put a cap on this by, again, putting the audience in front of you at First Baptist Church. It's a beautiful resonant hall with two levels. In fact, people will be able to spread out on the main floor and then in the on the side galleries as well.
Right.
When you get to a space, a new space, you've never been to Kalamazoo, I'm assuming, and First Baptist Church, is that a special moment to kind of check out those acoustics, and would your set list even be adjusted to accommodate something like that?
Well, definitely. I mean, it sounds like the perfect place for me to play solo, because I've been touring. My band now includes electric guitar and drums and bass, and so, you know, it feels special to be able to create this intimate experience in a space like that. You know, I've never been there before, but it sounds ideal for a solo performance. And yeah, I'm, you know, my cello loves being in those kinds of places. That's where it is able to sound the most like itself, you know, and be the most like itself. So that's always a treat.
Here in this region, we have a strong community of people who love roots music. We have a show here on the radio station that's been going over 40 years called Grassroots. So that's been a small part of keeping people in touch with the many kinds of acoustic musics out there. So I have a feeling that anyone with any kind of curiosity about folk cello, Haitian and Creole traditional music, and of course an original songwriter, they'll all be drawn to this program. And I hope that you'll kind of have something for everyone.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think, you know, I think that tends to be how it feels, you know. So I'm excited. I haven't been to this part of the world in a long time. Haven't been to Michigan in a long time. And I'm just so happy that the world is opening up a little bit and that we're even able to gather in these ways again.
Thank you so much for our chat today, and I wish you well on your travels. See you Thursday.
Thank you. Thank you so much.